Well, it is an honor to be here. I thank you for your invitation to come and share the word and worship with you. I had a friend of mine years ago who won an award for being the most humble. It was a big, beautiful red button. The problem was they took it away from him because he wore it. It's the problem with humility, right? Once you recognize how humble you are, well, there goes the game. Let's look for a minute where we are in this Gospel of Luke. Jesus is on tour, preaching, teaching, healing. Right? He's already called the disciples. He's already been transfigured. Now he's working his way through different towns and villages, drawing a crowd. The tension is ramping up a bit, though, as he will, next chapter, turn his face towards Jerusalem, towards the events we know as Holy Week, as the Passion of Jesus. Luke is known for a couple of things. One is parables. We get from Luke, of course, the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son. Today is a parable. It's a short one, but Jesus tells this story about two men who go to the temple. And if we again look at where we are in Luke, we get some more sense of what Jesus is trying to tell us. Remember, last week the story was about the persistent widow. Right? It was an invitation to pray always, to not lose heart. And sure enough, these two characters in the parable today are praying. Now, the next part of the story is Jesus goes and they bring children to him, infants. And that's when he said, "Blessed are those who receive the kingdom as children do." Okay, something about humility. Well, those two things in our text today meet. The invitation to prayer, and in doing so, a posture of humility. Jesus, in most of his parables, he tells of these characters that are sometimes quite absurd. He definitely deals with hyperbole, that is, overstating something to make a case, right? And so we have our two characters. We have a Pharisee, who, if you're following along the story, Jesus has already butted up against a couple of times. And a tax collector, whom seen through the eyes of the world is the lowest of low, yet Jesus has chosen to be with the likes of these people. And so Jesus tells the story. The Pharisee is there in prayer in the temple. And if you read the words, it's a lot of I statements, isn't it? Who's he praying to? Maybe God, but he's kind of listing his CV, right? Or his resume of all the great pious things he does. And then he utters that line, "Thank God I'm not like them." And they switch to the tax collector, who can't even look up. Such is his humility. And he lays it all out before God, asking for mercy, knowing that the good gifts from God are not earned, they're bestowed. And Jesus lifts up these two characters. Maybe the interpretation isn't all that difficult. Be like one and not the other. Be like the tax collector. Go and do likewise. Lift up your voice to God in supplication, knowing all good gifts come from God. Be not like the Pharisee who trusted in himself. who was trying to earn points with some religious system. Be like one and not the other. Every time I encounter a parable, one of the things I like to do is read it a few times, each time putting myself in the place of one of the characters. You get a lot from the parables if you do this. Let's put ourselves a minute in the position of the Pharisee. Let's be aware that it's not an if, it's a when. We think to ourselves, thank God I'm not like that. To be aware of what's going on. Because not only is this Pharisee creating a distance between him and God, but he's also creating a distance between him and his neighbor. What community can survive when everyone's looking down their nose at everyone else? All right, so let's put ourselves in the place of the tax collector. We come before God in humility. We ask God for mercy, for forgiveness, for grace and love. We do so with a contrite heart, in the sense, again, of humility. Well, if we're honest, life isn't that cut and dry, that black and white, is it? There are times I feel like the Pharisee, and there are times I feel like the tax collector, and there's a whole lot of times I feel in between or part of both. Life's a little more complicated sometimes than the characters have it in Jesus' stories. I mean, think about the Pharisee for a moment. Yeah, it was all about him, but he was pious. He was giving. He was fasting. Some commentators have pointed out he's kind of overdoing it. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that you have to fast twice a week. Right? And 10% is just the beginning of what he would have given. So he's not all the bad guy. And then we look at the tax collector. Okay, he was humble. He came before God, asked for mercy, but he was still a tax collector. He still colluded with the occupying force that oppressed his people. And where does it say he repented of that occupation, that vocation? These characters, though, can inform our journey, because that's what our life of faith is about. We are on the way. We're not like these static characters that we read about in the parables that Jesus tells. Our life is dynamic, ebbing and flowing with strength and weakness and faith, passing through various seasons, of course, of the year, but also in life, being challenged by bad things and uplifted by good things. We are on the way. And I think these two characters help us remember the call to pray always, and to do so with humility. In our life, we are called to be Christ-like. Right? That's the journey of discipleship. Again, in Luke, one of the things that we hear many times is this great reversal. How Jesus' coming will turn the world on its head. And today, it's about humility and exaltation. Jesus comes into our lives and sometimes turns our life upside down, reorients us towards who God is calling us to be in Jesus. One of the things that I dabbled in a bit in my ministry is this coaching. kind of like life coaching. If you're familiar with that, a coach is someone who asks good questions, listens actively, reflects back on what he or she has heard to the person, that the person can do that internal work to move forward. Someone summed coaching up as, together, coach and the coached, discern where the person is, where they want to be, and how they're going to get there. What are the next steps? Coaching is a great tool for discipleship. If you ask the questions in a slightly different way, where are you? Where is God calling you to be? And how can we intentionally invite the Spirit into our lives that God might move us closer? When folks are intentional, when you and I are intentional about our journey, the Spirit can do amazing things. The Spirit can work in our lives, can bear fruit. We may honor and love God and neighbor. So we hear the call to pray. We hear the call to do so in humility. The gospel of this text is that God is at work in us in all of this. At times when we're a little more like the Pharisee, times when we're a little more like the tax collector. Times when we make it about ourselves, and times when we realize all good things flow from God. As I mentioned, Jesus is preaching, teaching. There are those that are following him. Some feel called to be his disciples. He goes forth to Jerusalem and ultimately to the cross. But thanks be to God, to the empty grave. May the Spirit of God empower us on our journey. We might pray always and receive the good gifts of God in humility.